all of us this morning. So we're just thankful for what he's going to add to it. So right now, let's give God glory for his word, because his word is wonderful. And would you raise your Bibles if you have them with me and just give him glory for his word. Father, Father, thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. With those Bibles, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, beginning verse 13. This is the final message on the series we've had over the last couple of months on the kingdom of God. And this is the final part of what we started on the keys of the kingdom, binding and loosening. And if for those, we'll read the scripture together in a second, but if for those remember, we talked about the keys of the kingdom a couple of weeks ago, and the keys are in reference to the knowledge or wisdom of God that is available to us. And I'm just being very short and very direct with this. It's a much deeper explanation than just that, but that's the crux of it. And then last week we talked about what it means to bind, which in this case means to put a fence around. And we talked about how a person in Jesus' day, those words were common, to bind something. A group of Pharisees in the Sanhedrin, known as the Poseks, were the ones who were to judge the law. More specifically, the oral traditions, and they would establish them and would say, well, this is what's allowable and this is what's not allowable. And it's three people. And we talked about how it's in the where two or more are gathered, God's presence is there. And it becomes something bound, put a fence around. And the examples were given is if the speed limit's 65, a Pharisee or a Poseck can say, you as my disciple should not go over 55. Stay as clear away from this that could cause sin as possible. Another example that I gave last week was if the Bible says do not lust after a woman. Well, if you see somebody walking, approaching you in the distance and you're 100% sure it's not a man, but you're not sure if it's a man or a woman, the Poseks can say, your rabbi, your Pharisee can tell you as a disciple, if you're not sure, turn your gaze and don't look at them so you're not even tempted. So they put a fence around things to keep you from crossing over into the realm of sin. And you can listen to the full message on the website about that. So today, we talked about loosening, binding last week. We're going to talk about loosening, what that's really all about. Let's turn to Matthew 16:13, and we'll read through verse 19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, as we began to talk about last week what that verse is really saying, it's not saying that last verse, does not saying whatever you decide you want to bind on earth or loose on earth, then God is just going to say, okay, I'll do it because you asked me to. Remember, the keys of the kingdom have to do with the knowledge and wisdom that comes from the heart of God and the mind of Christ. Those are the keys, the wisdom and knowledge of things. And the foundation of that is salvation. It's healing. It's restoration before God. Out of that flows binding and loosening. And a more accurate translation of whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven is what we read in William's translation is, I solemnly say to you, whatever you forbid on earth must be forbidden already in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth must already be permitted in heaven. In other words, what I am binding or loosing is not what I feel like binding and loosening, but because I have the keys, I'm in touch with the heart of God and with His mind through His Holy Spirit. And it began with my salvation, and then He poured His Spirit upon me. I am in tune with God's desires. I'm in tune with His heart, with His will. I am manifesting or bringing to earth what God has already pre-established in heaven. So when I declare something in faith, what I'm declaring is that God has already set it in heaven, so now I'm declaring it here on earth. So I'm pulling heaven down to earth. That's the power and authority that He has given His disciples and passed through to us. Okay? But it all begins and ends with getting into that place where our hearts are tuned to the heart of God and the mind of God. If we're not tuned to that, there's no way we can do it. All we're doing is just talking, and we have nothing to the speech. There's no weight to what we say. And we're not doing it by our will. It's the will of the Father that's already been established in heaven. That's why when we pray, that's why when we prepare even a message, it's not like, Lord, what am I going to preach on today? There you go. No. Lord, what is your heart for this church? God, what is it your heart for these people? What do you want me to learn too that I can pass along to them? I want to know your heart, and it's on me to get myself in that place where He can upload His wisdom so I would know. It's in those times when we are praying and focusing, we're saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to us today? How do you want us to even to pray today? How do you want us to pray for this person? Sometimes someone will come up for prayer, and because I'm already in the Spirit or in the presence of God, and I'm already hearing things that the Holy Spirit's doing, I can just start praying right away. But then there are other times when I just have to stop and go, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want? What is it you want to do in this person's life right now? What is your heart for them? What is your will for them? Help me to know, because I don't want to speak anything out of my own lips in the flesh, but your word that is power, that is knowledge, that is strength, that is hope, that is healing, that is restoring, all those things. So now we come to loosening. In many ways, it's a lot easier than understanding binding. Because in a simple text, to loose is just that, to set free, to loose, to let go the parameters that were already established, to set them free at this point. And loosening has to do with empowering the people to do what they are being called to do. A rabbi who would take their student, their disciple, and at some point, as they mature, as they progress, as they grow up, just like Paul's rabbi before Paul became Paul, when he was Saul, Saul matured through the ranks, and then he was set free from his rabbi. He always respected the one who mentored him, but he was now considered himself a rabbi. He was considered himself an authority on Jewish tradition and law, oral and written. So at some point, he graduated where he was now set free because his mentor, his teacher, was confident that now God has set him free. That you know, Yahweh has given him what he has. He's in tune with Yahweh enough to be set free. That's the understanding. You know, and we know that he was really set free when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Then he was free to be everything because he was still bound by certain things up to that point. But it's to loosen. The Greek verb here is lousias, L-U-S-I-E-S, which means simply to permit. Now, going quickly to the keys of the kingdom. Meyer's New Testament commentary says this. The power of deciding as to who are to be admitted into or excluded from the future kingdom of the Messiah. That's a reference to the keys of the kingdom. So, with that in mind as a beginning point, there are two elements to loosening. One is imparting freedom, and two is imparting the authority onto others to impart freedom. And let me explain what I mean by that. Isaiah 58:6 says this, "Is this not the fast I have chosen, to loose the bounds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke?" That says it all. That has to do with salvation and freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed, Word of God tells us. So we are free in Christ. So therefore, I have the keys or the understanding and knowledge of the words of grace and salvation and the heart of God, that if you allow me to take this key and unlock this door in your life and you receive my words, that I can loose you from the bondage you were in, from the chains you were in. That number, the first chain that needs to come off is that you are saved. Salvation is the first power to loosen. Remember what the disciples did. They received the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And what was the first thing they did? They went out to the streets. And what happened? How many thousands heard and received salvation that day? How many people were set free, were loosed from the binding that man put on them, the yoke that's being described here? That's the very basic, is salvation. So you as a Christian, we are called to go make disciples. We are called to go preach. You have no knowledge of salvation. If you have no other biblical knowledge whatsoever, you have a key of the kingdom, which is the knowledge of salvation. So you have that key to go and use to loosen and set someone free in salvation, in hope. From that, we build. And we start learn how to break the yoke of just spiritual bondage that we're under, or emotional bondage, or generational curses, and we can go on those things, the things that are come against us, the iniquities of the past, whether it's addiction issues or anything else that's going on in our lives, the way we think about things, attitude. Having a different attitude, we can break those things because your attitude comes from your perception on life, and your perception on life springs forth from your life experiences. So as you create new life experiences in the presence of God, in the knowledge of God, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, your attitude should be changing. So you're setting the person free. You're becoming free. This is what he's called us to do, to pray and to fast. And part of the keys is understand that when we pray, when we fast, strongholds are broken. People are set free when we do those things. They are to break the bonds of the wickedness, no longer holding on down, you down. The power to undo the heavy burdens, the heavy burden of, well, you can't be saved till you do this, or you can't be close to God till you do that. No. What you need to do is open your heart, come before Him humbly with a contrite spirit and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I receive you. And now you're close to His heart. It's that simple. And to break that yoke. Leviticus 14:7 says this, and he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Set him free, the yoke that's on them. This is on a simple level, focus on physical healing. But when you talk about setting the living bird free, is you're setting their souls free. You're setting them free to be what they were intended to be. You're encouraging that. See, we're accountable for the things that we know. And once we know, why aren't we sharing? You know, this is our job, is to share, is to express, is to love on people. It's to impart that freedom. I don't know about you, but one of the things that God is burdening me with, and I'm praying more for it, is to feel and to know the burdens that the person next to me might be feeling. What's going on in their lives? I mean, for years, I can tell by looking in someone's face something's not right, just something inside me. But I want more than that. I want to know with words of knowledge. I want to know by words of wisdom from God that, ooh, this person's struggling with stuff at home, so that I can have the opportunity to pray for them right there and then. So if the Lord opens the door, that I can minister Him to them and love on them and let them loose. It's loosening freedom. It's setting the captives free. This is what Jesus has desired for us. Think about this for a second. Every one of those 12 disciples were not fully free till they recognized who Jesus was, right? They walked with Him, but they were still dependent on Him in those moments. And they still wavered. It wasn't till He had gone up, the Holy Spirit overwhelmed them, and then they were truly free. They got it. They understood it. They got the keys. And remember what we talked about with the keys, that it was futuristic and tense. Peter had a momentary momentary filling of complete wisdom from God that was just downloaded upon him that moment when he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's when Jesus said, "Great, God showed you that, but guess what? In the future, you're really going to fully understand that and more. You'll get those keys. And you'll know how to set the captives free. You'll know how to loose people and set them free from the bondage of sin, of guilt, of mercy." I pray this morning, before we took communion, that some of you guys allowed the Holy Spirit to set you free. Allowed the blood of Jesus to set you free from something you were struggling with coming in here. While we were in prayer this morning, Holy Spirit heavily laid on my heart that there was going to be people struggling with doubt today. And doubt that leads to fear or insecurity because of that doubt of what God may be doing or working in their lives or situations in their lives. My prayer is that before you leave here today, you've been set free from that. That's a loosing. And guess what? I don't have to be the one to set you free. Anyone in here can pray with you. Anyone in here can get with you, and you can come together praying together and be loosed right there from those things in the name of Jesus. Not because of our power, not because of our will, but because of the heart of God and by His Spirit working through the situation. Two or more are gathered. That's why I had you come together last week in at least 2 people, if not more, and pray over one another. 2 or more gather. It's powerful. Leviticus 14:53 says, then he shall let the living bird loose outside the city in the open field and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. You should set it free. Set the living bird free. Now, here's something that you need to understand. Most of the time in Scripture, birds are not good things. Okay? The only time I can remember Scripture where birds may be good things is when Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They don't have a worry in the world. Otherwise, birds denote something oppressive, something demonic or evil. So what do you think is being let free, let loose, taken out of the person? What do you think he's saying? Then ye shall let the living bird loose outside the city, get it out into the open field, and then make atonement. In other words, what was dark, what was sinful, what was evil, what was, you know, not of God, you get rid of what was unclean, and now purify the house. Make it pure. Make it right. Set that household free. See, I can't go into my house and say, Lord, bless my house. Let it be your sanctuary if I'm still allowing sin to continue in my house, under my roof. Whether it's coming from me or anybody else. I need to cast that out. I need to get rid of that. Whether it's a person or a spirit or just not make a conscious choice not to allow this to happen anymore. Or choose myself not to do this anymore in my home. And then, Lord, cleanse this home. Purify this home. Let it be holy, for you are holy. And where you are, it is holy. Let this be a holy home, consecrated for you. Just like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. You can't worship the Lord and allow other things to take place. So he's saying, loosen the person from the birds that keep in bondage. And let me tell you, it's not easy to get a bird out of your house. Several times on Wednesday nights when we had more services Wednesday nights regularly, we'd have a bird actually fly in on two or three different occasions. And let me tell you, it was not easy to get it out. We kind of gave up on it till it finally got out on its own. But you got to work at getting it out. Getting rid of the thing so that then you can set your home free, your children free, your spouse free, your friends free. Make that home a place, a sanctuary for God. Now, God's ministers do not make commands that God must approve and follow. Rather, God's ministers become aware of what God wants done and then follow his lead. Jesus himself worked that way, as Scripture makes it clear to us. That's how Jesus operated. And just quick Scripture on this. John 15:19, then Jesus gave them the answer. I tell you the truth. The Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever his Father does, he does. John 5:30. By myself, Jesus says, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. John 8:28, I do nothing on my own, but speak what the Father has taught me. So we don't do anything outside of the will of God. That's how you get into trouble. That's how you become a phony. That's how you lose your witness to those around you, because we act on the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of God, in the power of God, in the wisdom of God. So we loosen people according to God's word. We set the captives free according to God's word. So what happens? I have now been set free by the word of God. I am saved. I am working through my struggles, and you want to call them demons, the spiritual forces that have come against me. I'm working through stuff in my home, in my own life, in my thoughts, in my emotions. I'm getting them stable before God. What's next then? What's next after this freedom? What do I do? What's the next phase? What's my purpose now? Well, this is where loosening goes into its second phase. It's imparting authority. It's imparting authority on others to do the same. See, in ministry, our job is, as I am growing in a ministry position, is to take someone or people alongside and begin to impart on them what God has shown me so that I can train them up to be leaders. Okay? This is a vision of our church, equipping the saints. It's not the one to the many, it's the many ministering to the many. It's people being raised up to teach how to pray, how to intercede, how to lead worship, how to work with the kids, how to do different areas of ministry. It's taking someone who God is bringing up and then teaching them to lead others and bring them up in the same way. Mentor. That's the way the rabbis did it. That's the way the disciples do it. Did it. That's the way we're doing it. So now, once a person has been raised up, you now begin to loosen or permit them by expanding the fence to do more. Just think of a child. As the child grows, as a child begins to mature a little bit and you trust them with more, you're not keeping them in their little crib area thing or their playpen. You're not putting a 12-year-old in a playpen. Okay? I know some of us would like to sometimes, but that's a different story. But you're not putting them in. You're beginning to trust them with more. You start allowing them, you know, to stay home by themselves, maybe 1 hour the first time, 3 hours the next time. You begin to loosen them. You're imparting a sense of authority and responsibility and power that comes with authority to make certain decisions during those times. It's the same thing in ministry. We're imparting that as people are maturing into it. And it's a hard lesson to do, but that's what God has called us. See, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 20 says this. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So he reconciled us and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's now passed that down to us. He did it, showed us how to do it, did all the work for us, laid out the blueprints. Now he's saying, this is what you follow. This is how you do it. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So he's given us everything we need to do that. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Notice the word us and we, not just Paul, not just Peter, not just Pastor Mike, not just Pastor whoever. It's us that this has been passed down to, that we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us, as though God himself is speaking through you. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So pass it along to do these things. And you, for those that aren't aware, and most of us I think might be, but as an ambassador of a nation, you represent everything about that nation. When you go to it, when you establish an embassy in Timbuktu, and you're an ambassador to Timbuktu, guess what? That embassy, the ground that embassy lays on, is considered United States property. It's no longer the property of Timbuktu. Everything about you represents who sent you. Everything. Guess who we represent? We represent Christ, who did what? He made disciples. He imparted his authority and his power. He gave them his spirit. He poured his spirit on them to do what? To heal the sick, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel, to move in power, to make a difference in this world, to loosen And when they were ready, notice he told them, wait. Wait in Jerusalem for the day of the Holy Spirit to come. For that day, the day of Pentecost. And he did not come, the Holy Spirit, till they were in one accord. When they were ready to be loosed, to take what God has poured into them and pour it out to the nations, he came. So he was loosening them to then take what they have and impart it on others. And they imparted it on people who were leading in. Look at Philip in the New Testament, who was basically a table waiter working in their church soup kitchen. And he turned out to be one of the first bishops ever. He became a preacher. His daughters became prophetesses. And he started out as just a humble servant. Wasn't part of the original 12. But that knowledge, the keys of the kingdom, and all that comes with it, as they loosed him in the word of God and salvation, and then began and continued the loosening process of empowering and setting him free to do the things, he did it. He did it. He had an impact on this world. Most of you may or may not know that for 5 years, I was under Pastor Joe, our former pastor. He was my mentor. And when the time came, he loosed me. There was a lot I still needed to learn, but there was a lot he taught me. And when the right time came, he loosed me to serve and go. And yes, mistakes have been made and fallen on my face a few times and learned a lot, but you know what? It's a growing process. It's a growing process. My human nature is to go back in bondage, but my spiritual nature keeps me pressing forward. Just like Tiffany shared earlier, when you don't feel like doing what you're supposed to do, that's what you're supposed to do. Because that's when your natures go against each other. This is it. We are to set the captives free. And then those ones who are free, we are to impart. I'll leave you with this thought. How many prisoners who spent 30, 40 years in prison and then are finally set free end up back in jail because that's the only life they've known? In my world, in the mental health world, I met people who spent 20, 30, 40 years in Marlboro State Hospital or Trenton State Psychiatric Hospital. And when they were finally discharged, within 2 weeks they were back in a hospital requesting to go back because that's all they knew. They didn't know how to live in freedom. Why? Because part of it is nobody came, took them by the hand, and walked with them, and taught them, and encouraged them. The Christian who is growing, who's been set free, who has learned how to be loose and walk in that freedom, it's our job to take those new believers who've just been set free from that captivity so they don't fall back. Take them by the hand and grow them and walk with them. Yes, it's up to them to choose to walk with you. They've got to humble themselves and want it. But those that do, it's our job to do it with. This is why we're doing what we do here as a church with our Bible studies, to train them up. I want to get somebody at a place where I can say, there you go, it's yours. I'll be here to cover you. I'll be here to encourage you. You feed things off of you. I don't want to micromanage you. I'd love to just step back and just be as a consultant to you and encourager and dialogue with you and go these things. But I want to set you free. I want to send you out in ministry, whether it's in this church or outside. That's the vision here, equipping the saints for the ministry of the body. So this morning, what is it that God wants to do in you? What areas of our lives are still kind of in knots, still captivated, so to speak, in a bad way, that God wants to set us free in? Maybe some are ready to start taking some steps of faith that they haven't taken before. And today's the day to loosen those. The gates being open, you're being told, okay, here you go. Start taking some steps. You've got people walking with you. You're not going to go this alone. Some just need to get with God today, and whatever spiritual bondage, tension, things are going on still within your heart, you need to be broken of this morning. Let the Holy Spirit come and really set you free. Maybe it's the way you think, the way you feel, the way you look at things. Maybe you need some new glasses, spiritual glasses, or just new eyes, period. One of our prayers a lot has been, Lord, take a heart of stone and turn it to a heart of flesh. That's the word of God. Maybe areas in us have become so hard in our hearts that they won't budge. But Lord, take this heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh so it would feel what you are doing inside. Would you bow your heads with me? Holy Spirit, right now, we just ask you come and you minister right now. You alone, Lord, have the words of eternal life. You alone have words that set the captives free, that loosen the bondages. Just let the Holy Spirit minister to you right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, show. Bring revelation.